I'm a Mac.
Hello, I'm a PC.
We have a lot in common these days.
We both run Microsoft Office. We share files. It's great. We just get along.
PC? Yep. Okay.
Hi, I'm a PC.
Okay, we're past that. We moved beyond that.
Yeah, I had to restart there. You know how it is.
No, actually, I don't.
Oh, what? Macs don't have to...
Had him, then we lost him. I'm gonna go get IT. Keep an eye on him.
Cultcast, the best 30-minute type of conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Leanna Caney.
Wait, I'm the host.
I didn't say that. That's why I paused a second. All right.
I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm joined by my my co-hosts.
Co-host, Leanna Caney.
Indeed. Welcome, Leander. Welcome, Aaron Elijah. You. Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. Psyched for the show. I hear we also have Alex Excelsior Heath with us.
Hey!
Welcome, Alex. Welcome, Leander. Welcome, listeners, to an all-new episode of the Cultcast, episode 96. Woo! 96!
Closing in on that.
We really got to make a decision on what we're going to do for episode 100. People have been making great suggestions. They've been saying that we should do a... like a live episode, maybe a video episode. I think the prevailing thought is we should do a video episode, but I'm a little worried.
Yeah, huh. I'm worried about
because
that.
Because if people see our hideous faces, our show numbers might drop precipitously. Yeah. Especially because I do this show shirtless. That actually might help. That might help with the numbers.
I'm pantless too, apparently.
Yeah, right. So we got to figure out what we're going to do about that. But I do want to mention this episode brought to you by Cult of Mac magazine. Yes. Did you know Cult of Mac has an all brand new magazine available in the newsstand app? And my gosh, you can get four issues for a song.
Yeah,
Leander, what's coming up on this week's in this week's issue?
This is our big special privacy special. So it's all about keeping
privacy as us
keeping it private,
as us Americans like to say.
Right. Yeah. And there's actually Nicole did a great story, a feature about this guy that lived on his iPhone for a year.
Yeah.
To try to show people exactly what the iPhone is revealing about you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really eye opening. It's a really good feature.
Is he now in the custody of, like, the NSA and the FBI?
No, but his mom's not happy. His mom got to learn a lot about him.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. Yep.
No, I was just going to say, if your mom's, on your phone looking at your stuff, I think you probably have bigger issues.
I know. Well, and then Buster's doing a great feature about top 10 privacy tips, how to hide your pornography on your iPhone.
Buster's writing that? I would think that's an article that maybe you would be good at writing.
More. No, Alex is a good man there. But, there's a whole bunch of, it's not just porn. It's not just prurient sexual stuff.
Of course. It's how to hide all the private things that you don't want people to see about you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that's available in the newsstand app. $1.99 for four issues. Talk about a steal of a deal.
Right.
Leander, you need to bump that price up to like $1,000. That's my professional business opinion. I'm sure people will pay that. Okay, well, let's start with the big news this week, shall we? Exciting news. Oh, so excited. I'm so excited. I'm not even going to try and hide it because I've been waiting for this news for a long time. So... it's official. Apple has announced that they're having a special event on October 22nd. And this is cool because, we had a long drought of products. For a long time, we had absolutely no new products to talk about. And now we got new iPhones. And now we're going to be getting new iPads for sure. iPad Mini. Hopefully new MacBook Pro, although I haven't really heard any information about that. There's been some rumors that they might release a MacBook Pro before that event. Alex, do you know any more about that?
Yeah, source wasn't very credible. But
dang.
Yeah, they'll probably just announce it at the event.
Yeah, I'm thinking
it's
the same thing.
It's all for you, Irfan.
I think Tim's all doing it all for me. He knows.
Because you're literally the only person that talks about the MacBook Pro this much.
Well, yeah, but I know we have listeners out there who are waiting. And yeah. There's probably a lot of people who are waiting for the new MacBook Pro, not just me.
I'm on a Retina 15-inch MacBook Pro, and it's great.
Soon to be old Retina. I'm like, is that Retina? Because it doesn't quite look as Retina as my Retina.
Do you really think they're going to announce the Retina at the same time as the iPad, so?
It would make sense. They could have kind of like a Retina theme, like if the iPad Mini goes Retina, right. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That does make sense, yeah.
So we did talk last episode about all our expectations. I think we should probably still at least run down quickly what we're expecting, right, for those people that missed last episode, which should be nobody, because I know you're all faithful and listening every single week. So we're definitely expecting a new iPad 5, A7 processor, 64-bit, the same one they put in the new iPhone. It's going to have a smaller form factor. I'm hoping that they actually announce some new stuff that maybe none of us know about, because it seems like pretty much the entire product has leaked. So I'm hopeful for that. iPad Mini, feel free to jump in here at any point, guys. Retina is going to be the big thing. Probably going to use the A6X chip, which is what is used in the current iPad 4. Hopefully it's going to be Retina. That's unconfirmed. We're still not sure. Hopefully MacBook Pros. Hasn't been a lot of chatter about that, but I've got my fingers and toes crossed for that, for some Haswell upgrades. And Mac Pro, I'm thinking we're definitely going to see this debut. We're going to get prices on all this. Going to be looking like it's going to be manufactured in Texas at the Flextronics plant. And I was reading recently that they're on a super mega hiring spree to, I think, bring on like 1,700 people for a huge, quote-unquote, huge product that they're going to be building. I think this is really cool, the fact that they're going to assemble this in Texas. Doesn't that kind of make you guys feel good in some way when you're buying an Apple product?
Texas, y'all.
Texas, y'all. Not as good as Auburn,
though. Everything's bigger in Texas, y'all.
Although they're making it smaller. That's what I point out, yeah. Although normally you're right. And let me think, what else do we have? I'm missing something. OS 10 Mavericks, of course. Probably. Do you guys have any idea? Are we expecting them to release that immediately after the event, or maybe a week or 2 weeks? Alex, any ideas?
Wait, are you talking about Mavericks?
Yeah.
We said a week on the last show. So,
oh, good memory.
Yeah. They always release new versions of OS 10 after an earnings call, and they've got an earnings call the next Monday. So it'll be on that Tuesday, so exactly 1 week later.
There you go. I wonder why they do that.
I don't know.
Maybe because releasing it makes their stock drop crazy?
No, maybe they can chart its success better when they put it in a new quarter. So it doesn't
Tim likes to micromanage it, right? So he doesn't want to be doing two things at once.
So those are our expectations for the big event. It's going to be 10 a.m., and I'm excited. So new products, it's going to be a very Merry Christmas for me. I'm probably going to drop like $3,000. I'm definitely getting a new MacBook Pro, definitely getting a new iPad, and I'm thinking about getting a new time capsule.
Ooh.
Wow, that's exciting.
I've got one. I've had nothing but headaches with it.
Your time capsule?
Yeah, but I'm not sure it's a time capsule. I think it's like one of my neighbors has got one too. And it's like, now my house is being blasted with all these waves of Wi-Fi radiation, and he's interfering with it.
never owned an Apple networking device ever, like a time capsule or a time machine, anything like that.
Or like an Airport Express or an Airport Express or anything. Yeah. I own all of them, actually. Oh, I take that back. I don't own a time capsule.
Because they're freaking expensive.
Are expensive, but the routers are really good. My Airport Extreme router has performed very well. The only thing I don't like about the Apple routers is, this is going to get kind of nerdy for a moment, if you will. I like to mess around with my QoS quality of service settings on my routers. You can prioritize what services get bandwidth first. And I had an older router that had open source firmware, which is basically the hardware's operating system. And you could play with everything. You could even go as far as adjusting the power level provided to the antennas to increase the coverage in the area that the router sits. And on the Apple products, you can't really control anything. So what's that kind of sucks. But hey, come on now. Don't rain on my Apple products. But they're rock solid reliable, so that's cool. So I am excited to get one of those, especially because the new one is going to be the updated AC spec. So, I mean, from everything I've been reading, they're a lot faster than the previous N version routers. Are you guys planning on buying anything from the new products? iPad, anything? You got to have like, something.
Yeah, I'll probably get a new iPad.
Yeah, I'm going to get the iPad 5 for sure, because I'm on an iPad 3 and it's getting slow.
It is getting slow, isn't it?
The battery life is getting bad. I used to be able to not charge it, have to not charge it for like a week. Now I have to charge it every day or 2 days.
Holy smokes. How often do you use your iPad?
I mean, I use it quite a bit. I do a lot of reading on it, do a lot of random stuff on it, actually.
I guess I only use mine at night, and I'm still only having to charge it once a week.
Yeah, I have to charge it every couple days at least.
Oh, really?
No Alex is obviously using his a lot more.
Yeah, Alex, you're really using yours a lot. I heard the video really drains the battery. I definitely noticed that iOS 7 made my iPad 3 much more lurchy. So the animations used to be smooth and stuff on iOS 6. And now when I hit an icon to launch an app, you can tell it's struggling to keep up with the frame rate. It's just like, and then all of a sudden the app's open instead of, you know, animating smoothly. So I think it's time, or so I've convinced myself. I'm just not sure if I'm going to get iPad 5 or Retina Mini. If the Retina is not Mini, I know what I'm doing. That's an easy decision.
Yeah, you mean the Mini is not Retina. But yeah.
Yeah, if they release one, then it's not Retina. What did I say?
The other way around.
Oh, really? I just like to keep you guys on your toes.
If the Retina's not Mini.
I want a Mini Retina. That's what I want. And if they don't give me that, then I'm buying something else. Maybe a Nexus tablet or something. Anything else about the Apple event, guys?
What was the tagline on the invite? It says we got a lot more to show you.
Oh,
yeah. We got a lot more.
Ooh.
That's going to be all about Retina, right?
Yeah.
And Retina everything. Maybe Retina iPod.
We still have a lot to cover.
Retina iPod?
Yeah. We still have a lot to cover.
The Classic hasn't been updated in a while.
That's going to the grave as is.
I
don't think they're ever going to update that, right?
I think the tagline we still have a lot to cover can mean only one thing. It's Tim Cook and Phil Schiller doing live karaoke.
I thought they were going to come out. They're going to wheel them out in a big bed under the covers.
Yeah.
That was my impression. I think yours makes a lot more sense.
If they're going to stick do that, they need Bob Mansfield. We've got a lot more.
And they just rip the covers open and get the keynote going. Loud music comes on. Bob Mansfield is in his jammies.
Hello, well, let's hope he's in his jammies.
He's got his Nike Fuel Band on. Yeah, obviously lots of different products on the way. Let me ask you guys this, though, about the invitation, since we're talking about the invitation, speculating, if you will. So it has the stem of the iPad or of the Apple in lots of different colors. Any significance there to the gamut of different colors being shown, all the multiple stems?
Well, it's obviously that the Retina MacBook Pro is going to come in multiple colors, right?
Oh, gosh. We've got a new plastic MacBook Pro, and it's available in multiple colors.
Right.
That'd be like the Homer car. There'd be like one single solitary cough. No applause. Hey, Leander, would you mind not driving your motorcycle while we're doing the show? I'm not even sure how you're pulling that off.
I'm getting off now.
Yeah, get off the freeway. Pull over, and let's finish the show.
All right, I pulled over. I'm by the cafe. Hold on.
So, any other speculations, or shall we move on? Let's move on.
We could see a new Apple TV.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do
that's
tell.
Been on the cards. That was rumored for the last event, but it wasn't like really sure. People were kind of iffy, but now it seems like people are saying that there's definitely going to be a new Apple TV before the holidays. So now would be a good time to.
That would make sense.
What are they going to do with it? Stick a new chip in it?
Yeah, stick a new chip in it. I think it still can't stream. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it can stream full HD video still. Mm-hmm. So just make it better for AirPlay, beef it up a little bit, and I'm hoping some new software, like a new interface would be nice, but we'll see.
That would be cool.
What if they just came out and their surprise thing at the end was like an SDK for the Apple TV for developers? That just, that would be interesting.
That would be very cool. I mean, that would transform that product into something that would become, it's already popular, but it would become much more popular overnight.
Oh, yeah.
I think eventually they're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a WDC thing. They're not going to do that at a consumer event. This is their Christmas stuff.
Yeah, this is them refreshing all the products. When was the last time we had iPod updates?
Who knows?
I feel like
they don't even announce. They don't even put new iPods or iPod numbers in the press releases anymore.
they just do soft updates on the website.
Didn't they do the new Nano last year? That was one of the main features of last year's keynote, wasn't it?
I think so.
The touchscreen Nano.
No, I don't think a Nano is cutting stage time in a couple of years.
That's how they just go. Oh yeah, new Nanos, and then they move
on. I really
on.
Don't remember them showing a Nano off on stage last year.
I don't really recall either. I feel like this is the time of year though when all the iPods get updated. Although with all the shifting now, I'm not totally sure on that, but we could see those as well. It's definitely going to be a packed event. I mean, because they got the iPhones out of the way, so now they're going to be touching down on everything else. Let's move on, guys. I want to talk about Apple's new hire. Now, you guys, correct me if I say her name wrong. Angela Arendts?
Yes.
Does that sound right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. She, Tim Cook wrote a letter to all of Apple letting them know they have a new senior vice president for retail and online stores. And I don't want to speculate too much here, but I think Tim Cook's gunning for a new girlfriend. I'm just going to put that out there.
I think she's everyone's new girlfriend, isn't she? Because she's the only woman.
We don't know that.
No, yeah. Tim Cook's gay and she's married. So good luck with that.
Well, hey. I just said I want to speculate a little bit. I mean, and we don't know that Tim Cook is gay. Has he ever said that?
I think we do. I think that's been reported for a while, for a long time.
I haven't read anything conclusively about that. Leander, have you?
Well, no, nothing conclusive.
I mean, we've always maybe. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a big deal. Like he hasn't said it himself, obviously, but I mean, I remember stories on him even before he was CEO about that.
Yeah. I mean, he is a great dresser and a very charming man. So that's definitely not outside the realm of possibility.
Oh, Irfan, just move on before you dig yourself a deeper ditch.
Yeah, right. Let's not go there. Let's quickly move on to the next item.
All right.
All right, Burberry. Back to Burberry.
Okay, so she is the current CEO of Burberry and reportedly a huge watch enthusiast, at least was interested in Burberry watches. So she's going to be coming on board, I believe, this summer. Is that right? And I don't know a lot about her past employment, but reading, oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm actually putting together a little roundup of stuff. Yeah,
you want to give us a little bit more information?
She's done fashion. She's done fashion for most of her life, but she's from like Indiana, so she was in New York City for a long time. Worked at a bunch of fashion houses, and then eventually got the CEO job at Burberry. That was back in 2006. And last year she was the highest paid CEO in the UK.
Is she American or is she British?
She's American. She's from Indiana.
Oh, you just said that. Okay. Yeah.
She went to Ball State. I'm sure she's getting a nice, nice package at Apple.
Indeed.
Unintended.
Back to my previous point.
She's the only woman on Apple's senior executive board. So,
well, she seems like a fantastic fit because, you go into an Apple store and it's like being in a museum, right? They do retail really well in that they display their products very well. And you go to these flagship stores, which are incredible pieces of architecture, right? And they have these really beautiful products sitting upon these tables that are, you know, really don't have very many other products on them. They do a really good job at displaying things in a high-end way. And obviously, Burberry as a premium fashion brand kind of is in alignment with that vision of marketing. So it's going to be interesting to see how Apple stores change under her leadership, you know, but it seems like she's a really good fit for this position.
Yeah. And well, Burberry and Apple have been friends for a while. I know that their senior designer is really good friends with Johnny Ive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, they got the 5S's early. Do you remember that? And they were like using them to film the runway stuff back in September before the 5S went on sale. And so they were doing all these videos of the slow motion and all that and using it as promotional material. So Apple obviously has had a close connection with the company. And so it probably makes it helps that make more sense as to why she would transition from that to Apple.
You know what else I think is really cool is this position has been open for a while. And I know that we don't, has it been a year? I was going to say, I don't think we know exactly how long, but
well, Browett, when was Browett fired? Do you remember, Leander? Was it?
No, I don't remember. It was last year. And it was still last year sometime, but yeah, Browett was weird because he came from Dixon's, which is sort of like a low end Best Buy.
Yeah.
Best Buy. The first thing he did try to do was save a bunch of money, and he cut everyone's hours back and alienated all the staff. And it was like, you know, that seems,
it was like a mismatch in vision.
Yeah,
it seemed like a very bizarre matching to have him come work for Apple.
Yeah, it's been a year.
The Brimley, the Burberry thing is a much better fit because they've got stores all over the world, especially in Asia. And apparently, the Asian stores are really, really successful. You know, they made a lot of money in China, and they have these stores, and they have this almost the same strategy with Apple. They have these flagship stores in major cities, and then a lot of smaller stores in smaller regional centers. And there was a lot of talk about how her digital experience, you know, that Burberry was really, really successful with digital retailing.
Uh-huh.
And that they were often put up, if they had a big fashion show in London or Paris, customers could buy what was on display, order it almost immediately online and have it delivered very quickly. And they had, they increased revenue from the digital stores, from their website massively. So there's a lot of talk about that, but I think the most important thing is that Alex was saying, she comes from a high end retail luxury sort of lifestyle product background.
Yeah,
Burberry always called itself affordable luxury. Like it used to have a reputation as being the clothing of the British drunken criminal subculture.
Really?
Yeah. So like if you were gonna get robbed, it was in a street mugging and beaten up by some thug
wearing Burberry. I always picture like exotic, skinny European models of sexual ambiguity. You know, like you can never really tell what sex they were.
Right, like Kate Moss and stuff. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Angular cheekbones. Yeah, well, that's the image they wanted to project. But the reality was it was these nasty lowlife scum bags. but that was then. Now they've managed to go much more upmarket, and they've seemed to have left that image of the chavs behind them. The watch thing I think was a little bit of a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
She's a retail expert, not a watch expert.
Right.
I mean, it made for a really good post. You know, it's great speculation. But I think the iWatch thing is going to be much broader than just a watch. You know, I think it's got to be like a bunch of maybe several wearable technologies.
Absolutely.
And, bringing in this isn't the first fashion industry hire they've made. I mean, they hired some guy from Yves Saint Laurent last year for special projects, and they've gone after a couple of clothing designers, including the guy from Nike, who was probably one of the brains behind the Flyknit shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting a lot more fashion industry and
that's a great point.
Industry expertise.
Yeah, they're doing something.
And she has been a huge proponent of their online stuff, of getting their online stores going, and she's put iPads in all the stores and being very like tech savvy. And that's obviously what Apple wants for its online store. And I mean, it's got the biggest retail presence as far as just brand recognition in the world. So and it's really pushing mobile as well, and it's got the Apple Store app and all that, and she's very keen to that sort of thing. She's very into the software side of things. So I mean, it even says it in her title that she's also the head of online retail.
Well, you know, I went into the Apple Store the other day and got some cables, and then I used the self checkout app.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a very strange experience.
It is.
Really feels like you're shoplifting, even though you just went and paid for it.
Right.
Not dealing with anybody. And,
when you leave, you feel like everyone's watching you.
Yeah, I know. So like a big deal out of waving it at people. Yeah, okay, I just bought this. Okay, you know, and like look at this security guard in the eye.
You're sweating really badly.
Yeah, I know. You look far more suspicious than I did if I was just nicking it.
It does feel weird. Like I kind of want to be checked out by an employee, you know, before I just take something off the shelf and walk out with it.
And it's not like there's any shortage of them. I mean, the store's like half the people in the store are like these blue-shirted Apple Store employees.
Yeah, there's like three per customer.
But actually, it does help because, I mean, but then there's about eight people waiting to talk to them. So, it, you know, it is super convenient. I don't think does Apple's online retail presence need revamping? Do you know, is there any problem with it?
I mean, that's primarily how I shop Apple products. I never buy anything from the store. I think it's very good. In fact, they even do little things, at least here in the U.S., that I think a lot of companies don't think of, like pre-signing for packages. So if you have something being delivered, you can waive the need to sign for it when the package arrives, and they'll just leave it. I think the experience is great. I mean, can they improve it? Sure, they can always improve it. But for the most part, I've never used Apple Online to order a product and been like, oh, this doesn't work, or it's kind of wonky. I think it's very well polished. Do you guys shop inside the store when you buy stuff?
Yeah.
You do normally? Really? I shop online for everything.
When I got my 5S, I ordered it online and just did in-store pickup and then walked in and got it, and it was pretty painless. But I have gone in there just to kind of browse. But usually when you're going to make an Apple purchase, it's in the, you know, hundreds of dollars. So it's usually, at least for me, it's a thought out. Like I'm not going in and like, oh, I'm just going to buy this iMac. You know, it's usually think about it. So when I come in, I've got a plan on what I'm getting or what I'm looking at.
I have a feeling that Leander walks into a store and then walks out with a computer he wasn't expecting to buy.
Exactly.
Does that happen to you, Leander?
It's been a giant Mac. In fact, it has. It totally has. And a MacBook Air. I got them earlier this summer.
I mean, when you go in there and you actually use it, I think it's kind of like going to the pound and falling in love with a puppy. You know, you're not expecting to bring one home, but you start touching it, and it's looking at you, and it looks so sad, and you're like, I really want to bring you home. And then somehow you end up walking out with a $1,500 computer.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what happened. I got a MacBook Air this summer because I took the iPad. I was traveling, and I was trying to work on my book on the iPad, and it was just like, it was a little bit frustrating. I needed to have multiple windows open. So I just went down there and got one.
Hey, guys, let's move on to a story that's somewhat sultry. So if there's any people with kids listening, I just want to forewarn you. You may want to cover their little ears. Earmuffs, because we're about to talk about profound love.
Can't get enough your love, baby.
Profound love making. That's what Steve Jobs ex-girlfriend.
I don't know. I don't know why.
I probably just told you
that. Can't get enough for your love, baby.
When her and Steve Jobs
are together, I can't get used to.
Tell-all book.
No matter
I love this headline
I
that Buster put together. Steve Jobs' ex-girlfriend reveals nights of it's profound like lovemaking in new book. So apparently, this is the mom of Lisa Jobs, the daughter that Steve Jobs had and then didn't acknowledge until she was, 15, 16? Leander, do you know the age there?
I don't know the age, no, but I think it's probably a bit younger. But yeah, initially he denied paternity, and it went to court, right? And so he was found, to be her father, and then they were estranged, and then they made up. I think she was probably a bit younger. I think she went to live with him when she was in middle school.
That sounds about right.
High school.
As reenacted brilliantly in the movie Jobs by acclaimed actor Ashton Kutcher. I believe is how his name is pronounced. So, Chrisanne Brennan releases a book. I think it's out now. And she talks about her relationship, her tumultuous relationship with Steve Jobs. And in it, she said, I want to read this to you guys because I think it's pretty entertaining. Steve and I shared, I'm quoting now from the book, Steve and I shared nights of lovemaking so profound that astonishingly, some 15 years later, he called me out of the blue to thank me for them. That's how you know you're good at making love. Someone calls you 15 years later and thanks you for a sexual experience that you had that far in the past. But he's still thinking about it, yeah. And he felt compelled to call and thank her. My goodness, is this woman, is she single? Is she still single? Do you guys know?
That would be the dream for you, wouldn't it, Irfan, to be with someone that Jobs had been with?
I could die happy.
You wouldn't even care if she's actually good and bad. You'd just be like, you were with Jobs.
I can't confirm or deny that suspicion. Just gonna let it lie. So, do we know...
This show has been borderline... Well, excellent. They're always inappropriate.
Hey, I warned people at least to earmuff their kids. What more can we do? This is this week's news. And, you know, this is the calm before the storm. We're getting new products next week. And I feel like the week before new products is always kind of a weird limbo because you're like, oh, well, we already talked about what we expect. Everyone's waiting to see what Apple is announcing. So let's just talk about Steve Jobs is a lover from the 1970s.
Well, that, some of the other stuff I didn't, that was reported from that book was really I think probably more entertaining in that kind of, you know, like, is he really that badly behaved? Because it said that they were sharing a house together, right, when they were going out, and he decided that he wanted her bedroom because it was bigger. Mm-hmm. She had the bigger room. So he just like got and moved all her stuff over, forced her into the smaller bedroom.
Really?
And took over her room. And she said she was really shocked by this because he was so graceless about it. And he was just like a giant monumental jerk.
That sounds like something that would occur with, you know, two young children, you know?
Yeah.
Like the kid wants the bigger room, so he just goes in there and takes it over.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And this is why they were together.
Yeah, you know, and then he dumped her when she got pregnant. After that, nights of profound lovemaking.
After all that great lovemaking, he still kicked her to the curb. But he obviously regretted it 15 years later.
Yeah, right. Well, he regretted something, didn't he? Maybe not.
Leander, have you read this book? It sounds like
I haven't read it. No, I just read some accounts of it. They just picked up that one section.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the most titillating.
Yeah, the most titillating
part of the
book. Stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what else it contains.
Do we have any idea when this book gets released?
I don't. Do you,
Alex?
No idea.
Alex is like, I can't have this conversation with you guys anymore.
I'm not going to read it, so I don't care.
You're not going to read it? I don't think I'm going to read it either.
We'll be too busy reading Inside Johnny's Mind.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hey.
Inside Johnny's Brain.
Yeah, I want to read Inside Johnny's Brain. But that's not a real book. Leander, what's your book called?
Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest product.
See, that's a great title, so we need to remember that. Do you have any update on when your book's coming out?
Yeah, it's coming out in 3 weeks, November 14th.
Woo!
We got to get some promotion stuff going.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah,
we
got to
get some banners. We got to make that known to the world.
Teasing that thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm working on it. Got all sorts of stuff in the pipe.
Nice. So 3 weeks, it's going to hit bookstores near you and Amazon and stuff.
Yeah. But if anyone wants to pre-order it, that'd be a great favor because, Amazon... stocks up according to the number of pre-orders are a big factor.
Oh, right.
Pre-orders really help. If anyone wants to pre-order it, please go ahead. And it's a really good discount. I think, it's really, really cheap, actually, on Amazon.
Inexpensive, you mean?
Inexpensive. they do crazy discounts. They'll take a bath on it, right? They sell it below cost.
Uh-huh.
And... last time I looked, I thought like this must be below cost. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it is now, and I can't look it up because my computer's all messed up. Mm-hmm. But if anyone wants to pre-order it, please go ahead. It'll be a big favor to me.
Awesome, and it's going to be a fantastic book, I'm sure.
And in fact, actually, I'm working on a special case study. Like I had a lot of material that never made it into the book,
mm-hmm.
And so I was going to do a special offer. You know, if anyone wants to pre-order it, they'll get this. I'll write them a special chapter of this case study, which I think is probably it's going to be the most detailed case study about how Apple designed products and how Steve worked with Johnny and the whole team. And I actually ended up talking on this particular product, talking to, you know, not on the main designer, but also the main engineer, mm-hmm. who and then a bunch of the engineers who worked in the factory. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this stuff was off the record, so I ended up getting a whole bunch of detail, and it was too much to put into the book, but it makes for a great case study, and it shows you the sort of, you know, warts and all story about how they worked and how all of these products got put together. So I'm going to put that into a special chapter and maybe offer it as a PDF to anyone who pre-orders the book.
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah. You know what else we should do, Leander, is give away some signed copies.
Well, I was thinking about that, but then the problem is shipping them.
Oh, we can handle that. That's not a big problem. Yeah. How much does it cost to ship a book to the UK? Like $800? Yeah, you can cover that.
You gotta fill out these huge custom forms.
Oh, come on. Five books? We could do like five books. We'll have people do like a contest on our Facebook page or something, and you could do like you could do like their names. Thanks for buying the book. Or here's your book, Charlie McCracken. I don't know if we have a Charlie McCracken listening, but there you go. We should definitely do that.
He'll get one. If there is a Charlie McCracken listening,
he's definitely getting one because it's already been filled out now. Hey, Alex, let's talk about Square Cash in a segment that we're calling App Watch.
Oh, please. You just made that up.
I did. Well, I did. You're right.
Yeah,
so, because I downloaded this last night, too. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's Square, which, you know, Jack Dorsey's the best looking CEO in tech, as his company that they do mobile payments.
He's a co-founder,
and they have had the Square Wallet thing forever, where you can just go in into a coffee shop and say your name and pay for stuff, and it's great. And they just debuted Square Cash, which mm-hmm. is their way of allowing you to send real money to anyone in the U.S. at first for free through email.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds too simple to be true, but it actually works. You send an email to the person you want to send the money. You CC the Square address.
You have to route all this through the app, right?
No.
No, you don't?
It's all email. Put the amount in the subject line and then send it. Huh. And the first time that you do it, it'll have you register your debit card with its, it'll have MasterCard or Visa verify your card. And then it's saved, and there's no logins or passwords or anything. It's all email based. And the app, the iOS app, Square Cash, is basically just a number pad where you can enter your amount, and then it auto composes an email for you.
So you don't even need to use the app, which is free, by the way.
No, you can do it on your Mac. You can do it anywhere.
Now, I think the interesting thing about this is that, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought it said the funds were available immediately.
It says within a day is what they're claiming for most people.
But that's really fast. A day is fast. At least in the U.S.
I don't know how they're doing this for free either, because they don't have any hidden fees, no transaction fees, no percentages, nothing.
Well, what's interesting is that they were charging fees when they were in beta, and then when they opened it up, they got rid of the fees.
Yeah, I think they're eventually going to introduce some higher, you know, like some premium stuff, like international
definitely.
Payments.
Yeah, right.
People that wants, I think it's, you're limited to like $2,500 a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll probably introduce, you know, higher tiers if you're wanting to send more money and all
that.
Now,
I was reading that you're limited actually below, I think it's $250 a week.
Yeah, it's $250, but then you just have to verify your identity.
And then you
again,
can do up to $2,500.
Like your social security number, and then you can...
This is really cool. I mean, really, really super functional, right? Because how often do you need to send money to people? And there really is no super easy way to do it.
Yeah.
PayPal. No one's ever heard of PayPal or Dwolla.
I don't use PayPal. I try to avoid PayPal as much as possible.
Well, everyone hates PayPal because they're such a bunch of scumbags. But and also they have hidden fees. It sounds like the big difference between this and PayPal is there's a convenience factor, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But, and I feel like also Square has a soul, and PayPal does not.
I don't know about that.
Their soul has long been extinguished.
It's just frictionless. You know, PayPal's is so much more clunky compared to this.
So they say. I mean, if you're going to receive the money, you're going to have to sign up somewhere. How's the money going to, you know, it's not going to pop out of your screen, is it? You're still going to have to sign up for an account.
Now, that would be a cool feature.
No, you don't sign up for an account. What it is the first time that you're sending, the sender and the receiver has to enter their card information on the Square website.
Well,
But that's a one-time thing, and then you don't have to log in or put a password in anymore. It's tied to your email address, whereas PayPal is, you know, logging in or using the app. But you can use this on any email anywhere.
Doesn't PayPal? I mean, PayPal always routes everything through your account. So if you transfer money from someone, I mean, it goes into their PayPal account, and then they have to pull it out.
Yeah, PayPal's a middleman, whereas this is going directly into your bank account.
They're just initiating what they call an
ACH. Involved. Amazing.
Drug dealers are going to be so psyched about this.
Yeah. I think the only sketchy thing is that it's over email, and they're claiming that they can't be, like, you can't spoof.
It's impossible to spoof.
Saying it's impossible to spoof, probably because they've got some kind of authentication on their side as well, but it's still kind of sketchy. It's more of a reason to get two-factor authentication on your Gmail for sure.
Mm. Well, if anyone wants to send me some money, I'll be duly impressed.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't believe this works. Alex, you're going to need to send me some funds, and I'll verify whether or not this is actually a quality product. but this is great because I do send money to friends occasionally, and it's always been a hassle, and all of our banks are all digital, right? You were just talking about a digital bank last week, Alex, weren't you?
Yeah, Simple's doing that as well, yeah.
Exactly, but you have to be one of their customers, correct? Yeah.
Right.
Which is always the case and always makes it super, you know, difficult to do. So this is really interesting. Do you know if you have to have a Square account in any kind of capacity to use this?
No.
Nothing?
No.
So you can literally just send an email. You don't have to be signed up or anything, and they're just going to let you send up to two.
Well, he just said you got to put your credit card number in.
The receiver has to enter their card information on Square's side once for the first time they get a payment, and then from anybody else, there's no login.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So. I think we should probably wrap it up there, guys. What do you say?
Yeah.
Anything else that you feel like that we need to tell our dear listeners this week, Alex? Besides, we love them and thank you for listening. And would you please go leave us an iTunes review? Oh, we love those so much. And they really help us a lot. So if you haven't done so already, please head on over to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell us why you love or hate the show. You could tell us that you hate the show.
It's just only less than 5. We're going to send Buster around and rub his beard on you.
Yeah, to break your thumbs and those of your family members as well. And so, please, you could be like, I hate this show. This is the worst show ever. 5 stars. We would be thrilled. Just any 5-star rating would do. We really appreciate those. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there, fellows. That's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know what? We would love to interact with you and make sweet Twitter
music.
Love to you.
profound
Twitter love to you on Twitter. Alex is Alex E. Heath, Leander's L. Caney. I'm at Airfon. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30 minutes of Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We hope you have a week full of profound lovemaking. And we'll see you guys next time. It reminds me of like the Kit Kat guy.